John chapter 11. Let's begin reading this morning in verse number 37. The reaction of the Jews at the raising of Lazarus. Verse number 37, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Well, we can see that they're thinking about this. Obviously, in such a scene, their mental capacities were exercised to at least ask this question. And it's a good question, at least from their point of view, since they're skeptics and they're not willing to believe in the first place. At least they look and say, well, we know that this man has performed miracles at different times and in different places. Well, why not now? Why would this man allow his best and dearest friend to die and this family to be bereaved? So at least they're asking a question. And in verse number 38, Jesus again groans, and we've already spoken to that issue. He comes to the cave, and then we find that once again he uses the bystanders there to actually take a part in what he's doing here. He tells them to remove the stone. And of course, Martha makes that objection that his body is already in an advanced state of decomposition and there's going to be an unbearable smell. And yet Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you would just believe, you'd see the glory of God? And of course, that's the thing that is the issue here, this disbelief. That's why Jesus has groaned, because the enemy has caused this disbelief from what he did in the Garden of Eden in alienating man from God and really enshrining man himself upon the throne of God, making man himself his own God, which explains why religion sells so well. Well, nonetheless, when Jesus speaks of the glory of God, then we're told that they take away the stone from the place where the dead is laid, and you can imagine the aroma that came along with it. And then Jesus lifts up his eyes and prays to the Father. And what was the material of his prayer, or the thrust of his prayer? It's in verse number 42. Because this has been the thing that we've seen all along since the beginning of his ministry. He didn't do the miracles just to wow the people. And he didn't even do the miracles necessarily to be a benefit to those who received them. Now, Lazarus, of course, is going to be the recipient of this miracle, but that isn't the real reason that Jesus does the miracle, because Jesus well knew where Lazarus was. What do you think that we learn in verse number 42?
His father sent him.
Yes, and that he wants them to believe. Let's read it. Verse number 42. And I knew that thou hearest me always, of course, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. This is the purpose of this miracle and all of the rest of the miracles. It's to the intent that they might believe. Then we move into verse 43, where Jesus cries with a loud voice, and we talked about that last time we got together. This loud voice we find exhibited when the Lord Jesus comes again. He comes with the voice, the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Well, he cries with a loud voice here, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." There's another thing which we want to see here too, in that the Lord Jesus actually has the bystanders put their hands on Lazarus. In order to remove these grave clothes, they had to physically handle him. And that puts this miracle beyond all possibility of fraud. It would have been spotted immediately if some other person had come walking out of that tomb. It would have been spotted immediately if Lazarus was something other than what he was before he was put in the tomb, because the people standing around knew him personally before he died. And so there's no question of fraud here. The authenticity is established by the fact that the people that are standing by and observing the scene actually handled him. I don't imagine he smelled very good. The grave cloths had no doubt taken on the odor of the decomposition of his body before he was regenerated by the power of God. So you have the stench emanating from the cave, the stench that's upon the grave cloths. It's pretty obvious something came out of that tomb that had been dead. And he wasn't dead then. It was the same Lazarus that they had put in that tomb just a few days previous. And they knew it. So that being established, now we come to verse number 45, which is the subject of today's lesson. And verse number 45 says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." Let's take that verse first, shall we? "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary." Now that's a curious thing, isn't it? They came to Mary. It doesn't say they came to Martha. It says that they came to Mary. Now the Holy Spirit records this, and isn't it interesting that it seems like Martha takes the lead early on to go meet the Lord, and then she goes and calls Mary, and yet we find out here that these Jews that have come, they came to Mary. And when Mary gets up and goes out of the house to go to the grave, so they thought, they get up and follow her, but they didn't follow Martha. And so I think that's a point that's well worth taking a second look at. Why do you suppose that this is the case? "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary," they didn't come to Lazarus, and they didn't come to Martha. It appears that they came to Mary.
Well, Mary seemed more focused on people in general. Like Martha was busy working when Jesus visited their home, but Mary was present with Jesus. And she was also more spiritual, I think.
Well, definitely she was. But do you suppose that a bystander or even one of these Jews would have thought that Martha was the people person? She was the one that cooked the meal. She was the one that served them. She waited on them hand and foot, it appears. Wouldn't it be the natural human response to look to her?
Well, she did the work, but the homework.
Yes, and remember, she took care of all these guests that are there, and she always did. That was her manner. Mm-hmm. And yet the scripture says that they came to Mary. Mary seems to be the quiet one, the one that's not in the limelight or the focus of anything. She's just there.
But I bet they knew she was more spiritual.
They might have. It's possible. But I don't think even the disciples looked at it that way. At least not usually. Something takes place here that is a paradigm shift. I'll bet most of those apostles that came to this home with Jesus were focused on Martha. She was the one that put the food on the table in front of them. She was the one that kept the conversation going. And Mary just kind of sits there like a lump in their view at the master's feet. Even the disciples weren't sitting at the master's feet like Mary was. Can you imagine what some of the disciples might have said about this situation? Especially Judas. I mean, Judas has already castigated Mary. Remember the ointment? Yeah. Judas has already found fault, and not only just Judas, but if you remember, when we looked at those scriptures, the rest of the disciples chimed right in with Judas. Yeah, yeah, how come you did that?
But that certainly got spread around town, I'm certain of that.
Oh.
And also the retort of what Jesus said to them.
It gets spread around even today. Jesus said it would be. But when you look in on this scene, if you're looking at it from the standpoint of the world, you'd think that, well, Martha was the popular one. She's the one that took care of all the guests, prepared the food, served them, did all those things. And yet when we get down to it now, many of the Jews which came to Mary, that is interesting. What would have taken the focus off Martha, where you would presume it to have been, and now suddenly Mary becomes their focus? And these aren't the disciples. These are the Jews that have come down from Jerusalem. Almost all of them, in fact, almost surely all of them antagonistic towards Jesus. This is kind of important to understand as an ambassador. Do you think that Mary is an ambassador of Christ? Martha was too, but in a completely different way. Do you suppose when it comes to a crisis like this, that people look at things differently than they might if things were just rolling along as they normally do? You better believe it. That's why funerals sometimes erupt into some unseemly scenes. Absolutely, they do. What do you suppose it was that caused these non-believing Jews to focus on Mary? When you take what they have said, pardon?
I said because she understands more.
Yes, she did understand more, and I think they knew that. Let's consider this question that they asked. That's why we started in verse number 37. And some of them said, well, who's the some of them? Verse 36 tells us it was the Jews. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? So already the focus is on Mary because they knew that Mary knew Jesus. And they've already asked the question, couldn't Jesus have fixed this problem before it ever got started? So instead of focusing on Jesus, they're focusing on Mary. What does that make Mary? Doesn't it make her an ambassador? Isn't she the one that's drawn them to the scene of this miracle so that they'll look at what Jesus is about to do? Remember, it's Mary that gets up out of the house when she hears that Jesus is coming, and these Jews follow her. They didn't follow Martha. They followed her. Then they get a surprise. They find out that Jesus has showed up. Yeah, she's going to go to the tomb, but that isn't why she got up and went out of the house. And they followed her. Because don't you suppose in the back of their minds, before they ever saw Jesus, they realized that he just might show up? Don't you suppose it was common knowledge in Jerusalem that Jesus was personal friends with this family and that he frequented their home? Don't you suppose they're thinking in the back of their mind, I wonder if he's going to show up, or I wonder where he is, or I wonder even why he isn't here already? Why didn't he get here? Because if he's the miracle worker he's supposed to be, wouldn't he just have known that Lazarus was sick? Do you suppose they were really all that surprised when Mary led them out of the house and they saw Jesus? I don't think so. Because it was fitting that he should be there. Mary's acting as an ambassador here. She's acting as a priest, too, because she's introducing these people to Jesus through this miracle. And Mary doesn't even know that Jesus is going to do this miracle. She's already said, you know, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But she says it in a different vein than Martha did. Martha is more accusatory, like, how come you didn't show up and stop this? But Mary's remark to Jesus is more like, how could anything die in your presence? Well, here it is. And this should be instructive to us, too. A lot of people will follow us because they know us. And if they know that we have a relationship with Jesus, now that focuses their attention on him. And when they come to their personal crisis in their life, who do you think they're going to look to? Somebody that they think might have some hope? Yeah, I think so. Verse 45 again. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, and had seen the things which Jesus did. That's important. What do you suppose is on the minds of these Jews as they come down from Jerusalem and gather themselves at Martha's house? Do you suppose that they were focused on the idea of death? Somebody had died. Now, we're not told that many of the Jews in Jerusalem knew Lazarus personally, but it sure appears that they knew Mary personally. And Lazarus is dead. And the situation seems absolutely hopeless to them. So where do you suppose their thoughts are centered? It's the same thing at a funeral. Where do you think people's thoughts are centered? Is it more on the person in the casket? Or do you think maybe they're thinking, someday that's going to be me in that box? All the talking heads on TV some time back like to use the word gravitas. Do you think that this situation had some gravitas? I mean the real thing? Yeah, it sure did. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did. Well, what did he do? He called Lazarus out of that tomb. What do you suppose they were thinking then? If Lazarus can come out of that tomb, maybe I could too? And it has to have something to do with Jesus? And I just saw that he did it for Lazarus. There's a possibility he could do this also for me. And then do you suppose they would start thinking, but how? And then don't you suppose they would be thinking, hey, wait a minute, Jesus and Lazarus had a personal relationship. How can I have a personal relationship? Because what he did for Lazarus was based upon that personal relationship. How could I have that? Don't you suppose it would be natural that somebody would be thinking that? Don't you suppose it's natural when people go to a funeral today, if they hear a message of hope preached at that funeral, that they might reach out and grab that because they knew that person, and especially if that person had lived a godly life and had given out during his life that he knew right where he was going as soon as he stepped out of this body, he'd be present with the Lord and had given that assurance to everybody and they knew that. Don't you suppose the same thing would be on their minds? That's why this is so important. Now we're going to see that there's some other people here with some very different ideas. But when we look at this, it starts to make sense. Funerals are the best place to preach the gospel that ever there was. Because if you really want to look at it with both of your eyes open, this whole life is a funeral. Verse 45 again. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now, there's a little parallel here that I think is worth looking at, and that has to do with the woman at the well. Let's take a look at that because there's a principle involved here, and it might be well to look at that principle. So that's back in John chapter 4. We were just there a week ago. So I know it's fresh in your mind. John chapter 4 and verse number 39. Let's start there, shall we? And see if you can see this parallel for yourself. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Doesn't this sound like the scene at the tomb of Lazarus? Do you suppose that Mary has spoken of her relationship with Jesus to other people and it was kind of common knowledge? Do you suppose that Mary was a good witness for Jesus where she was? Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. So the Samaritans now come to Jesus because why? Because this woman told them. Verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So what did the woman do? She acted as an ambassador. She acted as a priest. She brought them to Jesus. And then, when they heard Jesus for themselves, or heard his word, then they believed. And they said, you know, we don't believe because of you. We believe because we heard him for ourselves. And that's the same thing we're going to see at the tomb of Lazarus. Because Jesus did speak at the tomb of Lazarus, didn't he? Jesus prayed openly to his Father, remember? And he prayed audibly so that they could hear it. And what was the substance of his prayer? So that they could see what he was about to do, to the intent that they might believe. So we've got his own word here, coupled with what Mary has done. And now we see Lazarus come forth from the tomb, and the scripture tells us that many of them believed. Let's do verse 45 again one more time. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Well, unfortunately, there are some other characters present at this scene. And we see them in verse number 46. But some of them, not all, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, if you took that verse and stopped there, you might be want to think that, well, they knew that the Pharisees would be curious about this, so they trotted back down to the temple and gave them this report so that they would believe too. What do you think?
I think it was
political. Of course, they're agents provocateurs. Their idea was to inflame the Sanhedrin. But isn't it interesting that there with the Jews that believe, they saw the same thing, they heard the same thing. The miracle could not be disputed because they were there, and maybe some of them actually handled Lazarus. We weren't told that, but they were certainly there to witness those that did physically handle him. They smelled the stench. They saw him up walking. They saw the grave clothes and the napkin removed. They saw him loosed and let go back into his own house, which is another subject that we probably should broach. And yet they go back to the Pharisees in Jerusalem and they report the things that Jesus had done. Do you suppose they might have been spies in the first place? Of course. Of course they were. Because they would have already known what the mindset of the Pharisees were, wouldn't they? So what would be their purpose? To make a bad situation all the worse?
They're fake news people.
Exactly. Some of them. Well, we see something here that we've seen all the way up to this point in the book of John, that there's a division among the people. Well, that's an important thing for us to pursue at this point. So let's just do that by comparing scripture with scripture. What causes some of these people to take one point of view and some of these people to take another point of view when they've been exposed to exactly the same scene? They come away with two different points a view. That doesn't seem natural, does it?
It is natural.
Yeah, it sure is. Matthew chapter 10 then, and verse 32. It is, but it doesn't seem like it would be. I mean, how many times do you suppose these people had ever seen somebody rise from the dead? And after 4 days, how many times has the world seen someone rise from the dead? Yeah, this is a momentous occasion. Matthew chapter 10 then, and verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, well and good. Verse 34, this is where the surprise comes. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now that's startling. When we get around the Christmas season, the message of the angels is always preached, and on the earth, peace and goodwill toward men. That's God's desire. But what is Jesus talking about here? This is the way men will react. Do you think that Jesus came to create this division? No, man created it in reaction to him. Yes, because they would not abide the truth. Division. Now, let's look at a couple of cases here where this actually works out. Right here in the book of John. Just go to John chapter 7. We've mentioned this before, but we want to do it once again just to point out that this is the way it works, so that as ambassadors of Christ, we're not surprised by what we see people do and their reaction to the message of the gospel. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?' So there was a division among the people because of him." What was at the root of the division concerning him? The fact that they hadn't ever bothered to ask him where he was born? Remember, at one point, they said they knew who he was, and then at another point, they said, "We're Moses' disciple. We don't know where this Jesus came from." Would this have been an easily verifiable thing? Then why did it create the division? It's because they wanted it to. John chapter 9. And verse number 13. The man that was born blind. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see." Notice they didn't go ask Jesus, they asked this person. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. Now we could go on and talk about the rest of the story where he asked them tongue in cheek if they want to be Jesus' disciples, which was a very good thing for him to ask them, and a very bold thing. He had nothing to lose. He can see now. He doesn't care who doesn't like it. Do you think that Lazarus cares that some of the Jews wish that he was still dead because Jesus just proved that he had power over death? You suppose Lazarus would have said to Jesus, well, let's take this whole thing back because we're just offending some people here. We've outraged their sensibilities. Besides that, I've been in paradise and it's a whole lot better than being called back here, so why don't you just let me go back into that tomb? And isn't it interesting that the Jews that go back to report to the Pharisees don't bother to even ask the Lord Jesus, how did you do that? They knew how he did it. They didn't have to ask. They knew. And it's the same thing here with this man that had been born blind. This has never happened before. Jesus has restored sight to others, but this man was born blind. That makes it a very specific instance here. They don't believe because they will not believe. Let's pray.